The Supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters all over the world, salam and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. Today is the birthday anniversary of Prophet Jesus, Isa, peace be upon him. May the light of the Lord shine upon you and grant you happiness on this birthday and for many years to come. I congratulate our Christian fellows and the followers of Allah on the glorious birthday of Jesus Christ, the symbol of patience and love. In the light of the teachings of the prophets, we hope that we witness peace in the world. Abu Basir said, I said to Abu Abdullah, peace be upon him, why did Allah create Jesus without any father and created the other people by fathers and mothers? He said, so that the people would know all of his power, Allah's power and its perfection, and so that they would know that he, Allah, has power to create a creature without a male. Likewise, he has power to create one without a male or female, and he, Allah, the mighty and magnificent, did that so it would be known that he has power over all things.
Prophets all came to show people the way, to bring peace everywhere, to take evil away. Prophets all came. Prophets all came.
Today, Friday, is the 10th of Jamadil Awal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 5th of the month of Day, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 25th of December, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran. We find chapter Ar-Ra'd. We'll listen to verse 28.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Alladhina amanu wa tatma'innu qulubuhum bi dhikrillah. Ala bi dhikrillah tatma'innu al-qulub.
Those who have believed and whose hearts are assured by the remembrance of Allah, unquestionably, by the remembrance of Allah, hearts are assured.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Man is searching the extremes, and he wants absolute perfection. However, as everything except Allah is finite and is accidental in itself, it cannot leave one's heart in rest. In contrast to those whose hearts are set at rest by the remembrance of Allah, there are also some ones whose scope of mind and vision are limited and are content with so little in this world. He who knows that Allah is all-wise and omniscient, and He has not created anyone in vain, is optimistic.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine.
Overcoming loneliness. People experiencing loneliness often feel depressed, anxious, and or angry. Some may experience physical symptoms such as headaches, stomach pain, and reduced energy. They are often overly self-critical and self-absorbed in their unhappiness. A primary problem with loneliness is that when people experience it, they often engage in defensive behaviors that may provide some immediate relief from the pain, but in the long run perpetuate the feelings of loneliness. For example, some people who feel lonely withdraw from many of their existing social contacts or from opportunities for contacts with others because they fear rejection. They retreat to the security of their home after school or work and narrow their activities to reading, watching television, or hobbies they can do alone. While learning to spend enjoyable time alone is important and helpful, avoiding social engagement is counterproductive. All of these behaviors are self-defeating because while they may provide immediate emotional relief, they tend to confirm the lonely person's irrational self-beliefs about not being worthy of others' friendship or companionship.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in.
In this episode, we are going to be concerned with loneliness and the dangers of loneliness and how to cure loneliness. So because of this, we find that one of the good jobs to do in this world is to be kind to everybody, to be helpful to others, to spend our free time in studying good books or making ourselves busy with developing our good qualities or learning about the ways famous people followed so that they became very famous and very helpful, first to themselves, then to their own families, communities, and ideally to the whole world. Certainly, those people who have higher aims usually think about developing themselves and their qualities and faculties in such a way that the fruits of the scholarship, the fruits of the efforts would benefit not only their own immediate circles, but I mean, quite in a wider perspective, they would be able to help all people, I mean, irrespective of, I mean, nation, race, and so on. We hope to develop in ourselves the quality of spending our time always for the sake of our own development and for bringing all sorts of good to the whole world, inshallah. Thank you.
I've seen, it's been seen before, but it hurts just like a thorn, a pain I never felt before. My heart said, it just speak the truth. My mind said, don't be a fool, I need to get something off my mind. Don't let this silence be misunderstood. I don't know where my heart will take me, but I know your light will protect me from this fragile world.
Coping with loneliness, consider other options. Research has shown that loneliness and depression are interlinked. Therefore, the lonelier one gets, the more depressed they feel, and vice versa. Additionally, at times, even being with other people can tend to have an adverse effect and make a person feel more lonely. Considering this, it may be beneficial to try other options, such as psychology, counseling, or psychotherapy. Therapy can also give you more ideas and skills, training to help you manage your difficult experiences in a healthy and safe manner. Alternatively, you can also join support groups or approach-related organizations to help you cope with. Most importantly, be persistent, and if one method does not seem to be working for you, then try another. Try and try again until you can rise above your feelings and fight back. There is always hope in keeping faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, by your side can bring miracles.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
The unexpected blessings of being alone. Being alone has its own parts. Being alone can strengthen us internally, but not without pain. Emory University neuroscientist Gregory Burns found that people who descend from group wisdom show heightened activation in the amygdala, a small organ in the brain associated with the sting of social rejection. Burns calls this the pain of independence. All of our prophets experienced this pain of independence in their mission. Instances of different prophets being rejected by their own people are generously scattered in the Quran for us to read and reflect upon. One lesson we can extract from these is that being alone takes courage, faith, conviction, and confidence.
Some people have a difficulty, whether it's at school, at work, in society. They have this inability to fit in. Once you feel that way, this leads to loneliness. And a common problem that we have, especially in our schools, and we all need to be aware of this, my dear brothers and sisters, bullying at schools. Do you know that 1 in 3 children get bullied? That's 33%. 33% of children in schools are getting bullied. And 20% of students and children only tell their parents. 80% do not tell about the bullying that they go through. Your child may be going through bullying for years and you don't even know it. Your child may never have disclosed it to you. You have to follow up and look for signs and patterns to see if your child is being bullied. Every few days you hear in the news, a young boy or a girl, a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old, committed suicide because of bullying. They couldn't take the bullying anymore. And today, because of social media, bullying has become just so much easier. Before social media, you had to physically do the bullying at school, say something, you know, hurt the child, gang up on a child. Sometimes the teachers could see that. But these days on social media, who can control what you're saying? Every child today has an account, a social media account, and they're connected to their friends, and other friends are actually using this to bully them. We need to be aware of these dangers, my dear brothers and sisters. We need to take this seriously. Don't say, no, inshallah, I'm doing well and my family's well. Loneliness has no room in my family. No, loneliness is finding way to every family.
Dear friend, thank you for joining us. This is the end of this episode of today's special. Inshallah, we'll continue this topic on the next episode. Be with us. Fi amanillah.
Yourself. Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and since most of the Christian world is celebrating Christmas today, we join them in their hour of joy by reflecting upon a wise saying of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, regarding the mission of the last and greatest of divine messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as mentioned in the Gospel of Barnabas. The disciples answered, O Master, who shall that man be of whom you speak, who shall come into the world? Jesus answered with joy of heart, He is Muhammad, messenger of God, and when he comes into the world, even as the rain makes the earth to bear fruit, when for a long time it has not rained, even so shall he be occasion of good works among men, through the abundant mercy which he shall bring. For he is a white cloud full of the mercy of God, which mercy God shall sprinkle upon the faithful like rain.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Firstly, we would like to send our congratulations to our Christian brethren and also to our Muslim brethren, as this is recorded or, you know, said to be the birthday of one of the Ulil Azam prophets, one of the five great prophets of Islam, one of the great five prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Jesus Christ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, send his salutations and mercy upon his blessed prophet, a prophet who we as Muslims, you know, respect dearly. And we have also in our hadith corpus, or our traditional corpus, many traditions from this blessed prophet. Also in the Holy Quran, many stories of Isa alayhi salam have been mentioned. And hence we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who truly understand the status of this great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this regard, we will share a very beautiful tradition that has been narrated from Isa alayhi salam, in which he mentions the state of one who supplicates. That is the state of the supplicant. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer a prayer. And if a prayer is of this type, if a prayer is done in this manner. So it is narrated in the book Bihar al-Anwar that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, gave an advice or gave an exhortation to Prophet Jesus alayhi salam and said to him, "O Jesus, call unto me with a supplication of a sorrowful one." Now when you call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be in a state that you are broken. Be in a state that, you know, you are in desperate need of something. As if he is drowning and has no savior. And only supplicate to me by imploring me, with the supplication being your prime concern. So when you supplicate towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that very supplication should be your objective, your goal. Not that which the supplication is telling you, or not what you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, no. That connection between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order for that connection, in a state where you have nowhere else to go, but you realize that the only place you can go is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you cry and create this connection between you and Allah, and that connection is your ultimate goal. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through Jesus Christ, continues, with the supplication being your prime concern, for verily, if you call me like that, I will answer you. So a person, when he goes towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there must be a certain state of mind, a state of heart, a state of the soul that a person must completely, you know, absorb himself in order to go towards the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of Isa alayhi salam that we are able to pray and supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this manner, inshaAllah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Jesus, peace upon him, the misunderstood Messiah. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Salam, dear friends, and greetings to our Christian listeners on the occasion of Christmas. Since people in the West are merrily indulging in celebrations, we present you an exclusive feature on the virgin-born Jesus, who was virtue personified, shunned sins, rebuked the Israelites for their evil, and is regarded as a great prophet by Muslims. Stay with us, please. Today, the 25th of December, is marked in the West as the birth anniversary of Jesus, peace upon him. Last night, Christians attended the midnight mass in the churches and prayed for peace. Although, in a subdued manner, because of the fear of the spread of the coronavirus pandemic that has taken a heavy toll of life in Europe,
and the Americas. They have decorated their homes and are exchanging gifts. They also flock around the Christmas tree, which has nothing to do with Jesus and his heavenly message, and is part of the pagan rituals of ancient Europe. The head of the Catholic sect, the Pope, who resides in Vatican City in Rome, has appealed for peace and serious measures to stem the tide of COVID-19. But without the naming the evil brains behind this genetically engineered virus, let alone castigate the unchristian ways of the leaders of the US, France, and Brazil for the crimes against humanity. A glance at the land where Jesus lived, that is, Palestine, shocks our hearts. The sufferings of the people of Palestine at the hands of the tormentors of Jesus, the Israelites, makes us question as to why the Christian West does not object to the crimes against humanity of the Zionist usurpers of Palestine. Today, we witness that children, men and women in the besieged Gaza Strip are suffering from cold and hunger. To add insult to injuries, the US and European regimes that claim to be followers of the virgin-born Messiah side with the Zionists against the oppressed Palestinians. Is this what the Prophet of Peace taught? Are those claiming to be Christians really following the teachings of Jesus and his mother, the Virgin Mary, peace upon them? Where is the Christian conscience in view of the fact that Jesus and Mary continue to be slandered by the Zionists, the heirs of the despicable Israelites that betrayed the Messiah to the Roman pagans? These are the questions that flash across our minds. The occasion of Christmas provides us an opportunity to contemplate on the message of Jesus by sifting facts from fiction. As all devout Christians know, December 25th is not the day of the birth of Jesus, whose family and people followed their own lunar calendar, rather than the calendar of the Roman overlords. Moreover, the various versions of Gospels in circulation amongst the Christians, whether these books are regarded as canonical or non-canonical, depending upon the church the Christians follow, do not mention this date, or for that matter any other date for the birth of Jesus. Even biblical scholars acknowledge that December 25th was actually the day of festivities in the pagan Roman Empire, and when Europe became Christian several centuries after the birth and departure of Jesus from the scene, without the Gentiles or non-Jews having any information about him, the day was fixed as the birthday of the Messiah. So the question arises, when was the Son of Mary born and where? Let us first wish our Christian friends a happy Christmas and utilize this opportunity to search Islamic texts for the answer. It is worth noting that Islam regards Jesus as one of the five greatest prophets of God, the other four being Noah, Abraham, Moses, and the last and the greatest of them all, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. According to the Noble Quran, which we Muslims believe as God's final revelation to mankind, and free from any interpolation, as was the fate of the previously revealed heavenly scriptures, including the Torah and the Evangel, Jesus neither claimed to be the Son of God, nor was he crucified, as alleged. Islam refutes the irrational concept of Trinity, coined by Paul the Hellenized Jew, who, while Jesus was alive, was opposed to his monotheistic message. The point stressed by the Noble Quran is that the Messiah, with all his vast knowledge and wondrous miracles, was a humble and obedient servant of God, and among his greatest signs to mankind, it was by the will of God that he wrought miracles. He cured lepers without any medicine. He revived the dead without any heart transplant surgery. And to the amazement of the faithless Israelites, he molded clay into the shape of birds and without any laboratory experiments, breathed life into them. And to these inanimate objects grew real feathers, flapped their wings and flew, as the noble Quran testifies in Ayah 49 of Surah Al-Imran. Once, when a learned Christian came to Hejaz in quest of his investigations on Abrahamic religions, he was introduced to Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, the seventh infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. To his surprise, he found the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt more knowledgeable of the Judeo-Christian text than he himself. After explaining the dynamics of Islam, the seventh Imam said, "I will inform you of something that only a few people who have read the scriptures know. Tell me the day on which Mary conceived, and the hour of the day and the hour on which Mary gave birth to Jesus." The Christian scholar was confused and confessed, "I do not know." Imam Kazem, peace be upon him, said, "The day on which Mary conceived, it was Friday at noon. That was the day the angel Ruhul Amin, or the trustworthy spirit, came down to her from God with tidings of a boy to be born to her. There is no festival better than this for Muslims. Allah Almighty magnified it, and Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, magnified it and ordered that Friday should be a holiday." The Imam continued, "Do you know beside which river Mary gave birth to Jesus?" The Christian scholar said, "No." Imam Kazem, peace be upon him, replied, "It was the river Euphrates, and beside it were date palms and grapevines." It is interesting to note that in Bethlehem there are no date palms, and moreover, Mary had withdrawn to a secluded and far-off place as the time of the delivery approached, in order to be safe from the slandering tongues of the Jews. That is the reason when she returned to her hometown with the newborn Jesus, peace upon him, Almighty Allah empowered the infant in the cradle to remove any doubt about the chastity and virginity of his mother, be saying, as is evident by Ayah 30 of Surah Maryam of the Noble Quran. Jesus said, "Indeed, I am a servant of Allah. He has given me the book and made me a prophet." As for the date and the lunar month in which Jesus was born, a famous narration from the Prophet's eighth infallible heir, Imam Reza, peace be upon him, completes the dialogue which his father, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, had with a Christian scholar. The Muslim scholar, Hassan ibn Ali al-Washa, has informed us, "I was with my father and I was a youth, and we spent the night with Imam Reza, peace be upon him. It was the night of the 25th of Dhul-Qa'dah, and he said to my father, On the night of the 25th of Dhul-Qa'dah, Abraham was born, and on it Jesus, the son of Mary, was born, and on it the dry earth beneath the Kaaba appeared for the first time and was made to spread. Whoever fasts on that day, it is as if he were to fast for 60 months. These words ought to remove any doubt about the correct information of the life and message of Prophet Jesus, peace upon him. It is worth noting that the Arabs and Israelites used to follow the same lunar calendar with slight differences. Could this mean that the 25th of the lunar month was transformed into the 25th of December as the birthday of Jesus when the Roman Empire became Christian? This is a matter for scholars to research. As for the birth of Prophet Jesus without the association of any male for his mother, Islamic texts again come to our rescue. Abu Basir narrates, I said to Abu Abdullah, the Prophet's 16th fallible heir, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, why did Allah create Jesus without any father and created the other people through fathers and mothers? He replied, so that the people would know all of his power and his perfection, and so that they would know that he has power to create a creature without the involvement of a male. Likewise, he has power to create one without a male or female. And he, the mighty and magnificent, did that so it would be known that he has power over all things. What a rational description by the Imam of the Ahlul Bayt regarding Jesus, who preached his mission in Bayt al-Muqaddas, where many of the past prophets had dwelled. Jesus invited the deviated Israelites to the path of Allah and urged them to give up their wicked and evil ways. He was merely 33 years old, and in the prime of his manhood, when Judas Iscariot, the hypocrite who had sneaked amongst his disciples, betrayed him to the Romans. But the Romans, who had no proper idea of Jesus, mistook Judas himself for the Messiah and crucified him, making the ever-rebellious Israelites exult in joy that Jesus was killed. Allah lifted Jesus alive to the heavens, and that is the reason the Noble Quran says in Ayah 157 of Surah An-Nisa, and for their saying, we killed the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, the prophet of Allah, though they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him, but so it was made to appear to them. Indeed, those who differ concerning him are surely in doubt about him. They do not have any knowledge of that beyond following conjectures, and certainly they did not kill him. The teachings of Jesus, the Prophet of Peace, have been distorted beyond recognition by those who have been turned him into Son of God, when he never made any such blasphemous claim. It is an undeniable fact that today's self-styled Christian powers like the Americans and the West Europeans feel no inhibitions in lusting for war, bloodshed, oppression, depriving people and nations of their inalienable rights, indulgence in the most sinful pleasures of the flesh, destabilizing countries such as Syria, Iraq, Libya, Afghanistan, Yemen, Bahrain, Lebanon, and Palestine by supporting Takfiri terrorist outfits and the Zionists. The outgoing U.S. President Donald Trump, who claims to be a Christian, but tramples the teachings of Jesus under his feet by supporting the Zionists and gifting them the sacred city of Beit al-Muqaddas, or Jerusalem as the West calls it, is certainly an antichrist, as is evident by the immoral and adulterous life this murderous rascal leads. No wonder the Israelites, or more properly those who rejected the mission of Messiah and became Zionists, continue to slander Jesus and his chaste mother, whose spotless purity the Noble Quran confirms. In view of these facts, it is rather strange for the Christian world to kowtow to the despicable Zionists and the illegal entity called Israel, while indulging in the most absurd phobia against Islam and Muslims. It seems depravity has deprived minds in the West of any spiritual and moral values, as is evident in their celebration of Christmas. In conclusion, we draw the attention of our listeners to the prophecy of Jesus concerning the mission of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Jesus, in his native Semitic language, used the word Mdah for the great prophet to come after him, a word translated as Paraclete in the Greek version of the Bible, or Comforter in the English translation. In Arabic, it means Ahmad, or the highly praised one. Interestingly, the Noble Quran has preserved the original words of the Messiah in Ayah 6 of Surah Saf as follows: O children of Israel, indeed I am the prophet of Allah to you, to confirm what is before me of the Torah, and to give the tidings of the prophet to come after me, whose name is Ahmad. At the end of our program, we again heartily greet our Christian listeners and present them what the Noble Quran has said in Ayahs 34 and 35 of Surah Maryam about the Messiah. That is Jesus, son of Mary, the word of the truth, concerning whom they are in doubt. It is not for God to take a son. Immaculate is he. When he decides on a matter, he just says to it, be, and it is. Thus, in Islamic texts, we discover the real Jesus, who is awaited by Muslims, and will reappear in the last days of the world to serve as lieutenant in the global government of peace, prosperity, and justice of the Prophet of Islam's 12th and last infallible successor, Imam Mahdi. May God hasten his reappearance to cleanse the earth of all vestiges of tyranny and corruption. Amen.
I tell my friends that I think I am a better Christian now that I am a Muslim.
And everywhere my eyes fell, it was as if this Quran was directly talking.
Now you're becoming a Muslim. Yes. How did this affect your mom?
In my city, there is only one mosque, it's Shia.
And those who were guided to the right path in moments of realization.
تستسلمون عودة لدينكم لا تيأسوا فالعز بالإسلام بالحب نجمع شملنا وشتاتنا كلمة التفرق سادة الأنام الله أكبر الله أكبر الله
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu Alaikum. Hello and welcome to our program, Moments of Realization. This is a program where we get to have a little chat with those who have come to the realization that they should take another path. And usually this is a path less traveled by. I am your host, Rashida Hanif, and our guest today is from the country of Nigeria. He is Mr. Musa Kadem Mustafa. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Welcome to our program.
Welcome.
We have interviewed other people from your country, so we have an idea of where it is and so on. But can you tell me from your own perspective, what is special about your country?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Amma ba'd, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Firstly, I'd like to thank the organizers of this program.
Okay.
And also my host. Mm-hmm. I'm from Nigeria, from Niger State of Nigeria.
From where?
Niger State.
Okay.
Of Nigeria. So Niger State is the center of Nigeria.
Okay.
Close to the capital, Abuja.
Okay.
My town is Bida.
Okay.
Bida. And as Nigeria, we have many languages. The major ones are Hausa, Igbo, and Yoruba.
What do you speak?
But my own language is Nupi.
Okay.
They are the fifth language in Nigeria.
Okay.
So we speak Nupi.
Do you speak the other major languages as well?
Yes, I speak Hausa, just Hausa from the three. The population of our ethnic group, Nupi, is now about 15 to 20 million in Nigeria.
Is there anything about your country that is different or special that maybe the other surrounding countries don't have?
Yes, you see, there is in terms of religion, there is a big population of Muslims.
Okay.
Like 70%.
70% of the population.
Of the population. And the country is so rich because of the population. Mm-hmm. And in terms of economics, so there is a, and they are peace-minded people.
Okay.
They, especially in northern Nigeria.
Where the Muslims are.
Okay. Yes. They used to cooperate with within themselves, and also they love other people. So,
which is the most prosperous part of your country? Is the north more prosperous than the south, or
any side? Any side, and the north and the west, they are all the same. In terms of religion, in terms of good behavior, they love each other. This is the reality about Nigeria. Yes.
Okay. Tell us about your upbringing. Were you born into a Muslim family?
Yes, my forefathers are Muslims. And they are even jihadist warriors.
Okay.
My, I would say, fourth grandfather is a warrior, is a jihadist during the jihad of Sheikh Usman Danfodio in their root, they are Fulanis. They are not Nupis.
Okay.
And they came to conquer the Nupi land.
Okay.
to establish an Islamic state there.
Mm-hmm.
So my poor father called Mustafa. He is one of the famous ulamas by that era. Okay. And even my grandfather, Muhammad Sani, is even a foremost Malian.
Is that why you have the name Mustafa?
Yes, okay. My name is Musa. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather name is Mustafa.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather's name is Mustafa also.
Mm-hmm.
So, and my father is a famous alim, famous religion person, because he is one of the memorizers of Quran.
Okay.
And he is popular in our state.
Mm-hmm.
And
your father?
My father. Okay. My father, Al-Hajj Mustafa, Muhammad Thani. And my mother also, she's within our family also, you know. And I grew up in this kind of family, religious family. So that is how our family is.
Okay. What sort of schools did you attend? Did you attend religious schools or?
Yes. Firstly, I was born in 1967.
Okay.
I'm now 43 years old. So in 1973, I started my primary education in one of the primary school called Darachita Primary School. It's now Umaru Senda Primary School.
Okay.
So I finished my primary education. That was in 1979.
Okay.
So after that, I started entire secondary school in one of the town called Kontagora, GSS Kontagora.
Okay.
But due to some, you know, my dad preferred me to study Islam and Arabic studies, not Northern education.
Okay.
Because as I told you, they are, our grandfathers are jihadists.
Yes.
They fight colonial masters. They fight colonial masters, so they hate this Western education. I just managed, because of one of my brother, to enter primary school with a modern education.
Right.
But my
Your
father,
parents,
no.
They weren't happy about that.
Yes. Yeah. So when I've been to secondary school, he's always praying, as he taught me. I turned up and pack my properties and come back to my state. That was, I was in end of junior class.
Okay.
So I came back. When I came back, I say, still, I love this modern education. I told him that I want to study, to go further with my study here in Bida. So whenever I told him that I'd like to go ahead with my education in this part of Western education, he refused. So I sat down with him, I learned Quran.
And so you stayed at home then?
Yes, okay. Yes. That's from 1983.
Did he have other students, or it was just you at home with your father?
Yeah, there is one of my brother. My brother is studying Arabic by then in Lokoja.
Okay.
In one of the